Genre: a biography tells about a person's life. Look for how the author presents major events in Ángel Macías' life. Question of the week: how do we face personal challenges? Ángel Macías and Los Pequeños Gigantes by Gareth Vaughan. Illustrated by A. Corazón Abierto. August 23, 1957. On a hot summer's day in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, Ángel Macías stood still as a rock, holding the ball tightly in his right hand. He looked tiny on the pitcher's mound. His baseball jersey was two sizes too big, and the other team, La Mesa of California, stood at least a head higher than him. The outfield was waiting for the first pitch, nervously perhaps, but probably just amazed and excited to be there at all. Ángel and his teammates had surely never played before so many people in their lives. They were told after the game that 10,000 people were in attendance. Most of the crowd were probably mocking the pint-sized Mexican team before the game, but Los Industriales, as they were known back in Mexico, didn't care. They were in the final of the Little League World Series, and so what if they didn't stand a chance? The batter walked out to applause and took his position with a look of confidence that said the game had already been won. Ángel Macías went into his windup and threw the first pitch. Ángel was a humble and handsome kid, with a physique a strong gust of wind could blow away. It made little sense that this short, scrawny boy from the barrio could throw so fast. But Ángel had that natural ability. And when you have naturally acquired technique, background means nothing. Ángel was also unique in the sense that he was ambidextrous. He could throw equally well with either arm, which was very rare for a pitcher. This meant that when one arm got tired, he could simply switch and use the other. He was resilient and tough, too, with steely, determined eyes and a quiet confidence. And whether he played or was on the bench, it didn't matter. If the team enjoyed themselves, winning was secondary. He was just happy to be part of something. 2 months earlier, Los Industriales were just an unheard-of Little League baseball team from the city of Monterrey, in the northeastern state of Nuevo León. Baseball had been popular in Monterrey for as long as Ángel could remember. And so a few years earlier, he and a few friends decided to get together and form a baseball team. They cleared rocks and glass from a dusty field to be able to play. When they did finally play, they played barefoot. Their ball and gloves were homemade. But this didn't deter Ángel. And when the team won an invitation to go to Texas to play in the Little League World Series South Regionals, he couldn't quite believe it. Their first game was to be in McAllen, Texas. Before they left, a local priest gave them a blessing and told them to pray that everything went well. The priest, like everyone else, was certain they'd be back soon. Ángel packed a single change of underwear and enough money for 2 days, thinking the same thing. The team met at the second-class bus station in the morning and took the bus directly east to the border town of Reynosa. The trip took 5 hours, and when they arrived, they crossed the border on foot. Ángel had never seen the Rio Grande and certainly never been to the United States before. This was going to be exciting, he thought to himself. Ángel was the star player for Los Industriales, but he was oblivious to his star status. He considered himself a team player more than anything else. Personal triumph meant little. It was all about Los Industriales and the simple pleasure of playing the game. And now, Los Industriales were about to embark on an adventure unlike any other. Ángel was nervous and excited walking over that bridge and couldn't wait to play ball. But McAllen was nearly 20 kilometers from the border, and they were going to have to walk there. Ángel hoped that somebody would stop and give them a ride, but the sight of a Mexican Little League baseball team must have been a strange one to passing motorists. Plus, there was no way a whole baseball team would fit into a single car. They walked the 20 kilometers under the hot Texan sun, luggage in hand. When they finally got to McAllen, they checked into a cheap hotel and slept. Their first game was the next day. After a good night's sleep, unsurprisingly, Angel started to feel more anxious. When coach Cesar Faz told them that the morning their first game would be against a team from Mexico City, Angel's nerves were put slightly more at ease. They walked out onto the pitch into the bright sunshine, ready to play and likely to lose, but delighted to be there nonetheless. The Mexico City team consisted of the sons of Americans whose parents worked south of the border. They towered above Los Industriales, but the boys from Monterrey swept aside the Mexico City expats with ease. They beat them 9-2. Angel went back to the hotel with a spring in his stride, glad that he didn't have to go home the next day, and probably slightly worried that a single pair of underwear wouldn't be enough. But surely the next team would be better, right? They weren't. Los Industriales won the next game, and the next, and the one after that, too. In total, they won 5 games in McAllen. This now meant they advanced to the next round of regionals in Corpus Christi, a coastal city a few hours to the north of McAllen. The main worry now was money. They didn't have any. And the fact that if they kept on winning, their U.S. visas would expire. But keep on winning they did. They won their next 2 matches in Corpus Christi, and the next 2 after that in Fort Worth. After the game, Angel and the team ended up sleeping on the steps of a church because they had no money for a hotel. They were now headed deeper into the U.S. However, along the way, their visas did finally expire. Angel was worried they'd be sent home. After coming so far, it seemed like a sad way to bow out. But thankfully, help arrived. The U.S. ambassador intervened, and they were allowed to stay in the country a little longer. This meant they could go to the state championship, which they won 11-2. This was getting ridiculous, thought Angel. On they marched, east to Louisville, Kentucky, where they went to compete in the Southern Regionals. The victories in McAllen seemed far away, and Angel's hometown of Monterrey even farther. He was homesick. He had never even left Monterrey. Only Mayas had. And he wanted to go home. But he refused to show any weakness, especially to his teammates, who looked to him for inspiration. And instead of pining for the only city he knew, he was determined to carry on. Angel Macias and Los Industriales arrived in Louisville tired and hungry. They were having to rely on strangers for food or the kind-heartedness of restaurant owners who took pity on them. Some days, they had to get by on a single meal. Despite the hardships, Angel still managed to inspire his team to 2 victories in Louisville. Unbelievably, they would now head off to Williamsport, Pennsylvania, where they would compete in the Little League World Series. People back home in Monterrey sat around old radios listening to the first game in the series against a team from Bridgeport, Connecticut. Los Industriales won 2-1. They became the first ever team from outside the United States to reach the final of the Little League World Series. That evening in the Williamsport cafeteria, they celebrated by eating all the food they could manage. Angel went up for seconds and then thirds. They were to play La Mesa Northern, a team from California. Angel had seen La Mesa win their semifinal effortlessly. That night, Angel thought they should probably make a movie about all of this. August 23, 1957. It was the day of the final, and practically the whole of Latin America was listening to the broadcast. In Monterrey, shops closed and the city became a ghost town as people tuned in to listen to the game. Those listening held little hope for the Mexicans, but they knew they'd give it their all. Before the big occasion, Little League officials gave Angel and the boys new uniforms. They didn't fit. The average height of La Mesa was 5'4". Los Industriales, on the other hand, averaged 4'11". The uniforms looked huge when they put them on. But this didn't bother Angel, who himself was just 5 feet tall and weighed a measly 88 pounds, 35 pounds less than the average La Mesa player. Angel knew La Mesa was a good team, a really good team, in fact. They had barely had a run scored against them on the road to the final. They were bigger and better, and they were supposed to win. But on that sizzling summer's day in August, things didn't work out like that. When it was finally Angel's turn to take the mound, something astonishing began to happen. He retired one La Mesa batter after another. He threw fast, and he threw true. The only time a La Mesa batsman came close to getting a hit was from the very first pitch. But the ball was ruled a foul, and for the rest of the game, one by one, their batsmen walked back to the dugout, confused, drained of color, with a stunned look in his eyes. The crowd in Williamsport was witnessing something special. In the fifth inning, Los Industriales got a break and scored 4 runs. People in the crowd expected a reaction from La Mesa, but it never came. Angel again retired the batters in the fifth inning, and the crowd's allegiance began to switch. They began to cheer for the Mexicans. In the sixth and final inning, Angel was facing the last La Mesa batters. 1 strike, a fastball, another strike. Finally, a curveball. The batter missed, and the crowd went wild. Final score. Monterrey Industriales, 4. Northern La Mesa, 0. Los Industriales of Monterrey became the first team from outside the United States to win the Little League World Series. They became known as Los Pequeños Gigantes, the Little Giants. Angel Matias only had to throw right-handed that day. He usually switched when one of his arms got tired, but he didn't even have to do that. Angel struck out 11 of the 18 batters he pitched against. La Mesa never managed to hit a ball out of the infield. Angel had also thrown a perfect game, meaning no La Mesa player was able to get on base. An official came up to him after the game and pointed this out. But Angel didn't care. It was the team effort that mattered. There were tears of joy among the players of Los Industriales, Angel included. They jumped, they cheered, they hugged each other. The team were in a state of shock, especially after all they had gone through to get there. Angel had expected to leave after a couple of days in the U.S., but his team had ended up winning the whole thing exactly a month after leaving Monterrey. Instead of going home after the celebrations, the team traveled to New York City by bus. They went to see a Dodgers game at Ebbets Field as guests of the Brooklyn Dodgers players themselves. Macy's, an enormous department store in New York, gave each member of the team $40 to go shopping with. After New York, they traveled south to Washington, D.C., where they got to meet and shake the hand of the president, Dwight Eisenhower. Finally, Angel and Los Industriales arrived back in Mexico City. They were greeted at the airport, no buses this time, by the Mexican president, Adolfo Ruiz Cortines. Angel was glad to be back, but he still wasn't home. 1 month after winning the championship, Los Industriales finally arrived back in Monterrey. Angel was back where he belonged. Around 500,000 people lived in Monterrey at the time. Over 300,000 of them gathered in the streets to welcome the team back home. Angel had never seen anything like it before in his life. Angel was the only player from Los Industriales to dedicate himself to professional baseball. At 17, he signed for Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, and a year later with the Reynosa Broncos, before finally settling with the Sultans of Monterrey. After he stopped playing, Angel continued to have an influence on the evolution and development of baseball in Mexico, and in 2010, he finally retired from the sport he loved so much. Today, some 60 years later, his is still the only perfect game ever thrown in the history of the Little League World Series. And yes, a movie was made about them.